O God, you've called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You may not have actually encountered a burning bush in your lifetime, but I imagine that you have asked the question that burns on most of our hearts: who am I? One of my favorite icebreakers that I learned about in small group training was a series of sentences that said, "I am blank," and you had to fill in the blank. Now, I was real good with the first five, but there were 10 to fill out. So I said, "I'm a mom, I'm a grandmother, I'm an Episcopalian, I'm a priest, I'm a military brat," and then it gets a little harder. And I had to start really pondering, what was I willing to put down on paper that was so intrinsic to who I am that I would say, "I am"? Who we are is often expressed in the shape of our lives. Yet it takes a lifetime to figure out who we are. And it's that journey that gives us a sense of purpose and meaning. The same questions of identity can be asked of a congregation. Who are we? And what is intrinsic to our lives here that we would go out into the world? What can we do to say what we believe? These are not just questions of definition. They're questions of formation and discipleship. Whose we are and what grasps our hearts shape who we become in the world. This morning we hear the story of Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush. Now, just to review, Moses was born an Israelite, and we hear the story of how he's put into a basket of bulrushes and sent down the Nile with this grand plan to rescue him, and he ends up in the palace of the Pharaoh. Now, living in Egypt secretly as an Israelite put him in great peril because the king was now oppressing the Israelites into hard labor. When we pick up in Moses' life story in today's lesson, many years have passed. He's fled Egypt. He has reclaimed his Israelite status. He's gotten married, had a baby, and he's living as a simple shepherd. He has no ambition in life except to find the most tender grass for his flock. And there he is on the mountain with his flock, and the burning bush appears. When God calls Moses and commissions him to be the leader of the Israelites out of bondage, his immediate response is predictable. Who am I that I would be sent to Pharaoh to lead the Israelites out of bondage? What's striking about this passage is that God doesn't answer his question, doesn't give a list of skills and talents and encouragement. "Yes, but see, you're this and you're that." God doesn't do that. God simply says, "I will be with you." Moses was left to trust that God would use someone who felt so fallible, someone who felt so ordinary, to do an extraordinary task. But Moses pressed God to identify, "Who are you? Who is it that I can say that sent me?" How could he have any authority without being able to say that? And God gives an equally elusive answer: "I am who I am." also translated as I am who I will be. Perhaps what qualified Moses the most for this job was his sense of vulnerability and his willingness to live a yielded life to God's plan. Now, we may not consider ourselves the stuff of biblical heroes, so I imagine we would ask the same question about our call. Who am I that you would send me? I'm not holy enough. I'm not learned enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not whatever enough, yada, yada. And that then is our resistance to the call. And so we forge our own paths. We set our own goals. We create our own priorities, remembering our sense of ourselves. And we think we can be self-made. And then we spend our lives working really hard to prove our adequacy, instead of remembering our intrinsic worth as children of God. So what if we were to remember that and lean into our limitations, allowing ourselves to be vulnerable enough to open our hearts to what God has for us, how God can empower us? God has promised to go with us, and we have to trust that. God stands elusively out in front of us, calling us forward into a future that we can't even imagine. So it takes great courage to lean into those limitations and to allow God to work in and through us. We make ourselves vulnerable to God's plan. Now, the gospel today speaks of the fruitless fig tree that the gardener wants to tend and nurture. Like the landowner, our culture wants to cut everything down that doesn't immediately produce. You know, return on investment. But our gardener wants to dig around us, to put out a little manure for us, to see what's going to happen, and gives us a little time to see what fruit is going to be produced. Maybe some of the stuff we've been through is that manure that is tending the soil of our hearts. We cling to security and our own thoughts about the way things should be because it allows us to control things and predict things. And there's this irresistible urge to stay with what we know. But trouble and change causes our hearts to be more open, more aware that we're not in control. I am who I will be tells us that we are enough. Always becoming, if we allow God to work in and through our hearts. This weekend, your vestry spent some time together asking the question, who am I? Who are we as a congregation that God would send us into the world? We took some time away from busy, hectic schedules to dig around our roots, to till that soil, and to begin to understand the manure in our lives. And we also talked about how we, as a community of faith, can bear more fruit for God. If only we can remember our belovedness, to lean into our limitations, and to trust that God will empower us even when we feel like a fruitless fig tree. If God can transform a humble shepherd into the deliverer of a nation, God can transform our hearts to do the work of a gardener, to tend other people's soil, to take care of one another. God's call for each of us is way beyond our own ability to envision, more than we can imagine. But it's a scary prospect to yield our lives when we don't know the outcome. I take comfort in the words of our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. He says, "We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that need future development. We provide yeast that produces effects beyond our capabilities. Being freed from managing the results of our actions enables us to do something and to do it well. We may never see the end results because we are prophets of a future that's not our own. Our burning bush is calling to us to ask that vital question, who am I? Who are we as a congregation that we can bear fruit for God? I invite you during this Lenten time to really reflect on these questions, to live these questions in your life, and know that God is hearing your questions and will empower you. And I hope that in your personal and communal search, it will give you more meaning and purpose in your life. And I pray that our lives will become a grateful offering in response. Amen.